This is the time and place set for oral argument in the matter of McCook Lake Recreation Area Association's petition for declaratory ruling regarding appropriative permits and shoreline alterations. Mr. Hines is here for the appellants. Welcome. He'll begin, followed by Ms. Verliger, who will have the first 10 minutes. Is that correct? And then Ms. Hagee with the second 10. Also present is Mr. Fankhauser. Is that correct? On behalf of Appalachian Dakota Bay LLC and Michael Chiquin. All right. Thank you, Mr. Hines. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor, Honorable Justices, opposing counsel. It's a privilege to be here today to argue in front of you with respect to this case. I want to start with areas that we can agree. And the association agrees that not every shoreline alteration requires a water rights permit. That's never been the question before the Water Management Board. It wasn't the question before the Circuit Court. The question is whether Mr. Chiquin's project, which necessarily includes a shoreline alteration, requires that water rights permit. If he were not connecting this canal to the lake, if he were simply constructing an 1,800-foot-long pond, we wouldn't be here today. We also agree that based on the unique facts of this case and the unique circumstances of McCook Lake, that it might be appropriate to have a narrow ruling that doesn't disrupt the operation of the water rights program. The association is also not arguing that this type of project shouldn't be allowed. Rather, we believe the law as it exists today requires this project to obtain a water rights permit. And under the South Dakota Water Resources Act, the legislature has stated that the use of the water is of paramount interest to the people. The water belongs to the people, and they have a paramount interest. That means more important than anything else. It's not a word that the legislature chose carelessly. And this court understands the power of that word because this court has stated the paramount consideration for statutory interpretation is the text of the law. And that's what the association is asking for today. We're asking this court to give paramount consideration to the language the legislature selected. The law says that the right to the use of water is acquired by appropriation. Appropriation is not a trigger word. The use of the water is the trigger word. There have been lots of theories about why this project doesn't require a water rights permit. The state brought the issue of exclusivity of use of the water in briefing. The association's own water right to pump water from the Missouri River into McCook Lake is only exclusive to the association while it's being pumped. There's no temporal requirement in the statutes. There's no expression in the statutes that the use of the water is exclusive. A party could construct a dam on a navigable river in South Dakota, and people would still fish and boat on the impounded water, but that requires a water rights permit, and it's not solely exclusive. Both sides on this case have also cited to the case of Parks versus Cooper. And I think that case has a lot of different facts than our current case, but it has an important holding. It states that the public trust doctrine is expressed in the statutes in South Dakota. You can see that in the language that the legislature chose. The property belongs to the people of the state. The state shall determine in what way the water should be developed. The state is the trustee of the people's water. And there's already a process in place to permit this type of activity. There is a water management program, a water rights board, and they have applications. And in this case, there is a measurable amount of water that's needed for the canal. We have the dimensions of the canal. What makes this situation unique is that McCook Lake has water pumped into it from the Missouri River. So the record shows that that water level falls anywhere from 0 feet in a very wet year to 6 feet in a very dry year. So if Mr. Chiquin constructs a canal at the southern tip of the lake, and it's a dry year, the water will go down. The water goes down in the entire lake. And Mr. Shequin has suggested building a berm at the end of the canal to keep some minimum amount of water in the canal. But once the lake falls below the level of the berm, which it could do, that canal will not have water. And so there will only be water in the canal when the association pumps water into the lake. That just demonstrates that lake water is being diverted onto Mr. Shequin's property. And that's a use of the water. I would also take issue...
Can I interrupt you for a
yes,
second?
Please.
Earlier, you just mentioned use, and I'm trying to kind of process all those arguments that you were making earlier. Textually, you're referencing a permit for use. And I was curious about what statute you were referring to when you mentioned that.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. That would be 4613, SDCL 4613. The state has relied mostly on 46115, which says that before you can use water for any purpose, you must obtain a permit for appropriation. Again,
actually, it doesn't say use. It uses that appropriate.
Appropriate. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Which seems really important, maybe, in terms of the people's arguments, the party's arguments, in terms of whether we have one or not.
Well, I think you can read the two sections together. And it's clear that it's the use of water that requires a permit for appropriation. And you can't have the appropriation until you get the permit. An appropriation, it's a legally protected right to use the water. That's what the statutes mean.
The appropriation is the right, or is an appropriation a verb?
Well, it's a legally protected right. So anyone can use water. There are many uses of water.
The appropriation as a noun. The appropriate.
As a noun, correct.
Appropriation. I got you.
Yes. Yes, Your Honor. There's an example that the state raised in its brief that if Mr. Shequin simply dug a trench and allowed McCook Lake to fill it, that would not require a permit. And I want to take that example to its logical extreme. So if that's correct under the law, that activity does not need a water rights permit, then someone could buy a great swath of land across South Dakota and start at Lake Oahe and dig a trench to the west and a trench to the east and connect Rapid City and Sioux Falls with a mile-wide, 200-foot-deep trench. And there would be no public hearing, no public input, no analysis of whether there would be available water, no analysis if that would be a beneficial use in the public interest, and no analysis of whether that would impair any water rights. I don't think that's what the legislature meant when they said water is of paramount interest to the people. So this is obviously a much smaller scale project than that, but the concept is the same. This is a diversion and use of water of McCook Lake in a new way. And Mr. Shequin wants to develop the property, he wants to sell the property, and those are admirable goals. And the law can allow that as long as there's available water, it's beneficial in the public interest, and doesn't impair any other rights.
So he ultimately got a permit to fill the canal, the initial fill, and then to keep it additional amounts as needed from an existing irrigation well. And it's my understanding that your argument is, explain how that relates to what you're arguing here. So I got that, the association is still arguing, I think, that water that you believe you have, does the association have exclusive rights to the water in McCook Lake?
No, Your Honor. The water remains public water that the public uses. The association may have some rights as a prior appropriator to protect that use. But I don't think that the temporary fill and annual appropriation to maintain the canal liner changes this analysis, because Mr. Shequin's irrigation well can pump 650 gallons per minute. The association pumps 11,000 gallons per minute to keep the lake level up to a usable level. So if the association is not pumping that water and Mr. Shequin is pumping, he will never be able to fill McCook Lake. If the lake level is lower than the canal and he's filling the canal, the water will flow into the lake and they will eventually rise together. But that's why his permit to maintain the liner doesn't allow him to continue to use the lake. He needs the lake water to make the canal functional.
So if it's a public body of water, why can't he?
He can if he gets a permit. That's what the association has been asking the chief engineer, the water rights program, the water management board to say, is that this project is allowed if he has a permit to appropriate the water, to use the water from McCook Lake.
Does it have to be an exclusive use?
No, it doesn't. I think every use of water has a measure of exclusivity. The association pumps water from the Missouri River, and that is in their exclusive control while it's in the pump in the pipes. And then it's deposited into the lake where the public can use it. Mr. Sheekwin will be using probably an excavator to extract soil from the shoreline of McCook Lake, exercising exclusive control over the shoreline to divert the water onto his property. Even in the case of an irrigation permit, parties will take water and spread them on their corn and their soybeans, and some of the water seeps into the ground and returns to the groundwater. That's no longer under their exclusive control, but it was part of their permit to use that water in that way. So there's nothing in the statute that requires that the use be forever exclusive, holding out all other parties from the use of the water.
All right, Council, I'd like you to address your alternative argument under 4659. And then I would inquire if you think there's a difference between storing water and holding water.
So that's the construction of waterworks?
Yes.
I think a canal is clearly a waterworks. It's mentioned in the taxation section about being a waterworks. I don't know if there's a difference between, storing
and holding water.
Storing and holding water. Judge, I'm not sure. I don't know if there's a distinction between those two. It's not something that I've researched.
Thank you.
So your argument is that Mr. Sheekwin will appropriate waters that are, but you acknowledge that these waters in the Cook Lake right now are otherwise unappropriated. Yes?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the beginning of your question.
I had my fake hands up there too, I'm sorry. But your argument is that Mr. Sheekwin will appropriate waters from the Cook Lake that are otherwise, but would you agree those are otherwise unappropriated public waters?
I would agree, Judge. I think that that's the first question of the analysis for a water rights permit, is whether there is unappropriated water available.
Do you agree that's true?
I agree it could be true. The association wants the opportunity to argue against the permit that we think is required as a holder of a water rights permit that affects this lake. But I think those are questions that would have to be answered as part of the water rights application.
But doesn't it matter in terms of the chief engineer had an opinion, and that seems to be the prevailing opinion that the board and the circuit court relied upon. It's very prominent in the briefs. And the opinion is that you don't need a permit to appropriate unappropriated public water. What rule statute says that that's wrong? Why would they need a permit to appropriate a body or water from this otherwise unappropriated public lake?
I'm not fully understanding the question. I'll try to answer it. Any unappropriated waters are available under the law to be appropriated. The McCook Lake Association takes its water from the Missouri River, and
what would change the character? It wasn't a very good question. What would change the character of that water from being unappropriated to appropriated simply by extending the reach of the lake through a canal?
Well, I think the position that the chief engineer took and the position they took in argument was that once the association's water reaches McCook Lake, it becomes unappropriated public water again.
Right. But I understood you to agree with that.
I would agree with that, yes.
Okay. Then what changes the character from unappropriated to what you would contend is appropriated by Mr. Sheekwin simply by extending McCook Lake through this narrow
I understand the question now. So it's a diversion of the water. This is a place where the water is not now. It's not being used now on his property in this way. He has shoreline property. He could develop that. He could build a house on that.
There a diversion rule? Is there something that says thou shalt not divert? And if you do, it's an appropriation.
I think what the law says, Judge, is that if you want to use the water, you need a permit. And he's using this for a private development. And I'm not saying that couldn't be beneficial. I'm sure it would. But it still requires the permit to use the water in that way. Let me give a different example. Maybe this will help.
I understand you're right.
If Mr. Sheekwin took McCook Lake water and used it to irrigate his fields, that would require a water rights permit. The distinction here is instead of spreading it over the top of the ground, he's putting it slightly below. And, Justices, I see I'm out of time. We would ask you to reverse the board and the circuit court and determine a permit's required. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Verliger, on behalf of the chief engineer in the water rights program, before you begin, I was remiss in not noting that Chief Justice Jensen has recused himself, and sitting in for him is Judge Mowry from the Second Judicial Circuit. We thank you for considering the case with us. You may proceed.
May it please the court, counsel. Again, I am Jen Verliger. I represent the Chief Engineer Water Rights Program. I guess turning quickly for a second to a question I believe it was Justice Salter asked about whether there was a difference between storing and holding water. Justice Kern asked that. I would say there's not a difference between storing and holding water. I would say those are the same thing. I think this case has gotten a little bit jumbled from the sense that when the association first brought the declaratory judgment action, they were asking that all alterations of public water bodies that required the shoreline permit also needed an appropriation permit. And so that's how this case began.
It sounds like they're limiting that request now.
They did limit that request by the time it got to the hearing in front of the board, but again, that's how this case began and kind of move through the process. And so it gets a little confusing when we have the case following this coming up where Mr. Sheekwin did get a permit. And so the point of this case is that just because you're altering the shoreline does not mean that there's an appropriation going on. I'm not saying Mr. Sheekwin is not going to appropriate water. I'm saying that his activity of digging the canal is not the thing that triggers the appropriation of water.
Could he appropriate water? Would it be an appropriation of water if, for instance, the level of McCook Lake dropped or they stopped pumping, and he constructed that canal, as I have read, to have a 2-foot berm that would ordinarily be submerged but then would not be submerged if the water level dropped far enough, and he would hold water through that berm? Would that be an appropriation?
So I believe if the water was already in the berm and then the lake level dropped and it was just kind of trapped there because this berm already existed, I don't believe that would be an appropriation of water because that would be
similar. It may not be significant at all. I was just curious.
No, I don't believe that would be an appropriation of water, but if he, as he's planning to do, uses water to fill that canal up to get it up to the level of the lake, that would require an appropriation of water. Also, opposing counsel talks about how the state has relied on 46.115 as the permitting statute. That is the permitting statute. That is the statute that requires someone to get a permit. And the triggering word in that statute is appropriate, which has a specific legal meaning. I mean, that's a term of art in the water world.
And it's not just use.
It's not just use. It's appropriation. So appropriation, I would say, requires some sort of intent to put the water to use. As I briefed, it requires some type of exclusivity. I think there's some confusion about what exclusivity means in this context. It does not mean that nobody else can touch the water ever, which, especially when we're talking about recreational use, that's not how that would work. It means that that permit holder is the exclusive person who has the right to do whatever it is that they intend to do with that water. It doesn't mean that no one can ever use it again. Turning to also the extreme example that was given about digging a trench from Lake Oahe, you know, east and west all the way across the state, and whether that would require an appropriation permit. That would probably require a whole bunch of permits, but just the digging of that trench would not necessarily require an appropriation permit. That wouldn't necessarily be an appropriation of water. Similarly to that, on a smaller scale, farmers, you know, dig drains all the time to move water around on their fields. That doesn't require an appropriation permit. That requires drainage permits, which are handled by the county, but they're not necessarily taking the water to put it to beneficial use.
So following that example, what additional action besides digging that trench would require an appropriation permit?
Can you repeat that?
You said that trench, the digging of that trench alone from the Missouri River to Sioux Falls would not require a permit, an appropriation permit. What additional act would require that?
There would need to be some intent by whoever would be digging that canal to probably, I mean, I don't know why they would be doing that, but to likely serve water, municipal water systems, I would guess.
Or maybe a moat.
Or what?
A moat.
Or maybe a moat. I don't know if why you'd want to put a moat around Lake Oahe, but, you know, I mean, there's different reasons people get appropriation permit. You know, you can irrigate, you can put it to municipal use, you can get recreation permits.
But if they dug that trench and water started flowing from the Missouri River into that trench, that's not an appropriation.
The digging of the trench would not be the appropriation. There would probably be some activity that would follow the digging of the trench.
That's what I'm asking.
What's it would the be activity? The appropriation.
And what would that be?
Again, irrigation or hooking up a water line to serve communities, or it could be any number of things. It's a little hard to say because it's such an extreme example. I can't imagine why you would be doing it. But there needs to be some other sort of action that's wanting to be taken besides just the digging of the trench. The digging of the trench is essentially like putting in a large drain, which is what Mr. Shequin is doing here. He's just expanding the footprint of McCook Lake. And if expanding the footprint of a water body would require a water permit, you would need water appropriations permits every time you dredged a lake, every time you put riprap along a bank, which riprap is the big rocks that they put up to keep erosion from happening along banks. That changes the shoreline. So that would be a thing that would require appropriation permit under, again, the position that the association started this case with at the very beginning, which then morphed into a much narrower position that it was just this project.
Counsel, you filed a notice of review in this action regarding the applicability of the rules of civil procedure with via the APA. Are you abandoning that in that claim in this action? I see it wasn't briefed in this case. Are you abandoning that in this appeal?
I actually briefed that in the other case, right, because the way that the circuit court applied it was to the subpoenas, and the subpoenas were issued in the water permits case.
So it's abandoned then in this case, and you reserve the right to, of course, make that argument in the permit case.
Correct.
Thank you.
Unless there's other questions, I don't know that I have anything else to present to you.
Thank you. Ms. Hagee, on behalf of Dakota Bay and Michael Shequin.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. Stacey Hagee here appearing on behalf of Dakota Bay and Michael Shequin in this matter. I want to start with where opposing counsel had mentioned that we can agree. He had indicated that there's an agreement that not all shoreline alterations require a water appropriation permit, that this is only applicable or limited to Dakota's Bay and Dakota Bay's actions here, which is more from where it initially began, because that was the initial request by the association. He also indicated that the unique facts and circumstances here support a very narrow ruling and one that would not disrupt the general water rights program operations. What the association is asking for in this case is really an exception that requires Dakota Bay to obtain a water appropriation permit, no one else, but just Dakota Bay to obtain that water appropriation permit in this one instance under these specific facts, even though it's not supported by the statutory requirements for obtaining a water appropriation permit.
Well, this is a pretty unique lake in that it has significant evaporation and water loss each year, and there's some reference in the record that perhaps without the association's ability to draw water from the Missouri, it would dry up. Does that matter? Does that make it unique for an exception?
Your Honor, it does not. Here, the water is unappropriated water. It is a public lake, regardless of any other unique facts that are related to it. Here, even the canal is not a unique situation. As the chief engineer testified in front of the Water Management Board, this exists. This has happened in other areas. There are two canals on Lake Madison. There's one right here in Pier and Marion's Gardens. In addition, I think it's important to realize what is actually happening or what would happen under the situation of McCook Lake. What the association is asking for is when the McCook Lake water drops, and there is testimony as to seepage and evaporation causing that drop in the levels. Even though there's unappropriate public water, the water that was used to fill the canal is actually going to go into McCook Lake and go to that lower water level. The canal would have the clay liner that would be beneficial to prevent seepage, but in that situation with the water actually going, if there's some sort of way you can track it, if you think about it, the McCook Lake would actually be drawing water from the canal. And so you have this situation where if McCook Lake or if the association, I don't think there's any situation where the association would actually need to get a water appropriation permit because the bottom of the lake is causing more seepage, and so the canal is dropping, and any water that used to fill the canal was actually going towards the lake itself. They're actually asking for the reverse. They want a permit to be required for the water going into the canal, but they haven't contemplated the water that is going from the canal into the lake itself. But really it comes down to it's the public trust document and doctrine, and the unappropriation of the water supports that is in line with the public trust doctrine itself. This isn't water that's subject to the control of Mr. Chiquin of Dakota Bay. It is water that is for everyone's use, for the public's use and interest. Asking for a judicially created test here isn't simply going to be limited to the facts of this case or to Dakota Bay. The chief engineer has to apply, would have to apply any sort of judicially created test or other test to future permits coming in. And asking them to apply a test for a water appropriation permit when there's no actual water being appropriated would be incredibly difficult under their task of reviewing and recommending whether there's unappropriated water that's available for use, the proposed diversion of the water, and things like that they're tasked to do under their statutory requirements. I see my time is up, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Hagee.
Thank you.
Mr. Hines, why don't you begin right where Ms. Hagee left off? She's arguing that your client will not be appropriating water, or that Dakota Bay will not be appropriating water from McCook Lake.
And, Your Honor, I don't understand that argument. The water from McCook Lake is not on Mike Chiquin's property. He wants to place it there for the purpose of subdividing and developing land. That's his exclusive use of the water.
Is it, though? I thought I read something about a public boat ramp. Where's that located?
Mr. Shequin testified that he proposed a public boat ramp. There's nothing else in the record to establish that one has been planned, designed, or approved.
Would that matter?
I think it does matter, Your Honor, because he would need to demonstrate that that dock could actually be used. But I think it's two separate issues. I think that goes to the factor of public interest and beneficial use. I don't think it changes the analysis of whether a permit is needed.
So you've asked us to issue only a narrow ruling relating to this particular project.
Judge,
that's the way you started, and you've heard opposing counsel say, well, okay, then that's really asking us to create some judicial rule or criteria as to what type of shoreline alterations require a permit and what others do not. And should this court do that?
Judge, I think it is fair to apply my analysis to any public body of water in the state. I think that the unique circumstances of McCook Lake may make it possible to create a narrower ruling. We're not advocating for a new judicial test. We think the statutes as they exist now already require this permit. And I would like to go back to statements that have been made by opposing counsel about what the association has been asking for. You can read our original petition. You can read the published notice for the public hearing in front of the Water Board. You will not ever find a request that all shoreline alterations require an appropriation permit.
What about this one makes it a use that you believe constitutes an appropriation that requires a permit compared to other types?
This shoreline alteration, Your Honor, is for the purpose of breaching a dike at the southern end of the lake to divert the water onto Mr. Shequin's property so that he can develop it and sell it.
Under your definition, though, of appropriation, which leaves out the element of exclusion, assuming the canal is filled by Dakota Bay's irrigation well, wouldn't McCook Lake Association need a water permit to use any of the water that flows from the irrigation well?
Your Honor, I don't think that the canal water flowing into McCook Lake, which is already present, already used for recreation, is the same situation, because there's no act of the association or any member of the public that causes that water to flow back. Mr. Shequin is taking an affirmative action of altering the shoreline to expand the lake, to divert the water, and to develop. I think that's the distinction.
Did the water from the Missouri flow into the lake before you did the pumping?
It's an oxbow lake, so many, many years ago, this was part of the Missouri River, and the course of the river changed and cut off what is now McCook Lake. So it was once part of the lake. It hasn't been for a very long time.
But then there was some period where it was cut off, and because of that, you started pumping water to replenish the supply that was no longer accessed naturally.
That's correct, Your Honor. And I think the history is that the Corps of Engineers channelized the Missouri River, deepened it in the center, and that lowered the water table in such a way that McCook Lake began to lose more water. Just as the last thing I would say, Justices, is if you read only the appropriation permit statute in isolation, the state's argument sounds correct. But that's not how we read statutes. We read all of them. And I think there's a way to read them so that they work together, so that when you have one section that says the right to the use of water is acquired by appropriation and that no appropriation can be had without a permit, you have to be able to read them together. In the state's analysis, you just ignore the section that says the right to use water. And that's, again, why we're requesting that this court apply the existing law to these set of facts and rule that there is a permit requirement before he can construct the canal. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll be in recess for 10 minutes, after which we'll take up the related matter involving the petition.
Thank you.